Investigators now say they're fairly certain the massive power outage started in Ohio. What they can't explain is why it spread so far. Whatever the specific cause, the nation's biggest blackout is already prompting calls for improvements in the U.S. electricity grid. NPR's Scott Horsley reports.
Power detectives are still gathering information about just what happened Thursday, but the story seems to begin with a 345-kilovolt power line near Cleveland, which failed shortly after 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Within the next hour, several more high-voltage lines in the area failed, and moments later, huge power swings were detected in Canada and the eastern U.S. Michael Gent, who heads an industry group that oversees the grid, suspects the Cleveland-area lines are where the trouble began.
Brought under control after the first three transmission lines relayed out of service. We are going to get to the bottom of this.
The big mystery of the blackout is not why one or even several power lines failed, but why the problem continued to spread. Jim Owen of the Edison Electric Institute, a utility trade organization, says safeguards are supposed to prevent that.
The way that system's designed to work is there are breakers to pick up or sense on the system that it's getting overloaded, and then they're designed to go off, which shuts off the system, and then that kind of inoculates the other areas from getting sucked up into the problem.
For whatever reason, that didn't happen. Some politicians, including President Bush, have seized on the blackout as a sign that the nation's electric grid is outdated and needs more investment. But Larry Makovich of Cambridge Energy Research Associates suspects a different problem. He notes that new people and new organizations have taken control of the grid in many areas as the power industry has restructured. He suspects a lack of communication or contingency planning by these new operators may have more to do with Thursday's blackout than inadequate wiring.
The interesting thing is the system wasn't under a high degree of stress when this happened. And I think this has a lot more to do with coordination and operation of the grid than it does with the hardware.
Still, the hardware is likely to get some extra attention as a result of the blackout. Transmission capacity has not kept pace with demand for electricity over the last two decades. Steve Connors of MIT's Lab for Energy and the Environment says it will take more than rhetoric to change that.
When a politician, this week goes, oh, we have to overhaul the system, it's sort of like, well, that's great. How are you going to do it? If the rules aren't there, then it's not going to happen.
Connors notes that transmission lines, for the most part, are not owned by the government. Many are owned by private utilities, but controlled by quasi-governmental system operators. Connors says policymakers need to create financial incentives for private investors to put more money into the grid. There are some provisions to do that in the pending energy bill, but Connors says it will take more encouragement to develop a really robust electricity network.
Essentially, you want to set the rules to be friendly to overcapacity, because when you get caught short, it hurts. Somebody will come up with a number of what the losses were from, this day and a half of power outage, and it's going to be a large number.
The cost of the blackout may continue to mount. Grid overseers warn there may be more rolling blackouts tomorrow as a new work week begins and demand for electricity picks up. Scott Horsley, NPR News.